I know some of you may have seen this guy, Dave Reavers. You know, Dave Reavers was a young man in his 20s, and he was over in Vietnam, and he was getting ready to throw a phosphorus hand grenade, and he got shot in the hand. And he dropped that phosphorus hand grenade, and that phosphorus hand grenade went off right beside him, killed about six or eight men that was with him, and literally burned holes through his flesh. I mean, you could see through his body. Burned his face off. I mean, when they come to pick him up, they thought he was dead. They threw him up on a gurney and picked up to walk off with him, and he burned through the gurney and hit the ground. And when he hit the ground and bopped a couple of times, he said, oh, and they said, oh my gosh, he's not dead. And so he wasn't dead, and he had many, many, many surgeries. And today, Dave Reavers has brought, I have no idea how many tens of thousands of young people in school. He goes to schools and teaches the gospel, and these kids see him, and the way he looks awful. But God is using him mightily, you know. But I can say, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't do that to me. Now, he could have. But, you know, God's ways are not mine and your ways, are they? No. Are we glad that we're healthy and well? Oh, my goodness, are we ever. In fact, Dave Reavers, when he knew the promises of God, because he was a strong Christian, he went back to that church. And when he walked down the aisle of that church, he said, okay, God, you said in your word I could ask anything in the name of Jesus, you will do it. He said, now, Lord, I am demanding that you fix my body and my face where there's no scars on my body. He said, Lord, if you don't do it, I'm going to get you. He said, I heard God laugh. He said, son, I have a plan for you, and it doesn't include you being healed. Isn't that amazing? I have a plan for you. So if you're not burned like that, you can praise him and thank him. I mean, the other night, Cheryl and I was watching a movie, and there was two girls, a little white girl and a little black girl on there, and the little black girl once in a while would fuss about her makeup or something not being just exactly right. She was a very beautiful, attractive woman, a young girl, probably in her 20s, the late 20s, I'd say, or maybe 30s. But they brought a guy in to question, and he was behind the screen, and when they looked at him, he was burned something terrible. I mean, his ears were burnt completely off his head. I mean, he was awful. And that little black girl looked at that, and she looked at the little white girl and said, if I ever complain about what I look like again, you have the right to knock me out. Like I tell Cheryl when she comes to me, honey, pray. I said, what is it? She said, right here. I said, I don't see nothing wrong. She said, right under my finger. I said, well, take it off. She takes and puts it back, and I said, honey, I saw a little tiny zit. She said, I know, but I don't want it. Pray for it to go away. Oh, I think Cheryl kind of got a revelation there, too. She's a beautiful woman. You know, I mean, she's beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with the way she looks. And so we should realize that God made us like this, and we should praise him and thank him. Should we not? Yes. You know, praise him and thank you. You know, you have not been burned like that. I mean, my goodness gracious, God is so gracious and merciful because his ways are not ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever be right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. You have to learn how to have faith. What is faith? Faith is trusting in the promises of God. If God said it, you call him in remembrance of his promises. Lord, that's just exactly what I did with Caitlin and all them other little children that was down there at Cook's Medical Center. When I started calling the Lord in remembrance of all those wonderful promises, I stood on his word with no doubt in my heart. Even when we went to dinner one night to get something, we stopped to get some gas. And Caitlin's other grandmother, she called and said, Thurman, the doctor just said, Caitlin's dying. You need to get back here quick. I said, Beverly, don't believe that lie. She ain't dying. I said, there's no problem. I prayed for that little girl. She ain't dying. I said, she's going to be well. She's going to be alive and well when I get back because it is written in God's word and he can't lie to me. And so I went ahead and ate my sandwich. I filled the car with gas. I drove back to Cook's Medical Center. I walked up to her room and walked in and she said, you know, it's amazing. Right after you told me all those things, the doctor come back in and said, all that's gone away. She's perfectly normal now. You see, I mean, I could have lost her right there, couldn't I? But I had great faith in the promises of God. And that's what you and I have to do. We have to believe these promises of God's word. You can't be an unbeliever. Now then, let's go to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. But Christ has rescued or redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. And it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through the word of Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings he promised to Abraham. And we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Now, is it absolutely imperative that you learn what faith is and how to walk in faith? Yes, because if you don't have faith, you can't walk where God wants you to be. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now then, if you come to him and don't have his word in your heart, and you start trying to call God in remembrance of things, and you know what he's going to say? Where is that found? Do you know my promises? Well, no, Lord, I don't know where that's found. He said, well, I'm sorry. You know, but I don't watch over your words to perform them. I watch over my words to perform them. So you must find my words. And when you find his word and say, oh, right here, Lord, it's written right here. And you take him over, he says, oh, now we're getting somewhere. Look at this wonderful promise. Since he redeemed us from the curse of the law, let's go to John 14, 13, 14. I want you to see this. I got a letter this week from a young couple that said they came to one of our healing schools and they got so attached to this teaching. They said they got a whole bunch of teachings. They have listened night and day to these teachings. They have now started their own healing school. And he says, many people have been healed at our healing school. And I thought, is that awesome or is that awesome? See, what's God doing here in these last days? He's training his people how to walk in divine health and by faith. That's right. When we walk in faith, hey, it's done. Look at what this scripture says. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And of course, if you're not real careful, you'll find a lot of people that'll say, you know, but that was for the Old Testament people. You know, that was for the apostles. That was not for us today. But I don't see that in there anywhere. I don't see that nowhere. And some people say, well, yeah, but you know, he'll only do what's within his will. Well, I'll agree with that. He will do what's within his will. But if you're praying for people that are sick or afflicted, does God want everybody healed? Of course he does. Yeah, he doesn't want nobody to be sick. So if you're praying for people that are sick and afflicted, you're on safe ground. Because he says right there, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Now then, that time when 10, 11 years ago when I was down there at Cook's Medical Center, as I walked through all those rooms and prayed for all those children and saw our God raise up all those children, 9 of them miraculously healed. And then when he sent his angel, one a week, to look me right in the eye when I'd look to the guy and I mean, there he would be looking at me right now, and he said, son, the Lord said to tell you, he loves you. The first night, it just startled me. The second week, it happened the same way. And the third week, I was really startled. I said, Lord, I'm going to find out who these guys are, because every one of them said the same thing. The Lord said to tell you, he loves you. Now, what does it take to get God to love you enough to send an angel to tell you he loves you? Doing something for his kingdom, right? And that's what I was doing. And so I run around the corner to see who was there, and there was nobody there. I mean, it was nobody there. That angel had totally disappeared. But those angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those of us that will inherit salvation. Hebrews clearly says that. So I want to be about God's will. Yes, he said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Is that an awesome promise? Somebody said, well, I don't know what his will is. Well, then get in the book and find out. You know, get in the book and find out what his will is, and then start praying for your children. I mean, if you're a man, pray for yourself and for your wife. If you're a wife, pray for your children and everybody else, and then pray for your husband. But you as a woman need to have your husband pray for you. And that's something that lots of women never learn. And so they wonder why they don't get their prayers answered. But God wants your answer, but he wants your head to voice it. And when he does, it works. Cheryl and I have done that many times. Then he says here, Galatians 3:23, until faith in Christ was shown to us as the way of becoming right with God, we were guarded by the law, We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until we could put our faith in the coming Savior. In other words, when you were lost before Christ came, and you read in the law, thou shalt not covet. Well, did you know that God didn't want? He didn't want you to covet, did he? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit fornication. I mean, you read all those things and thought, well, this is under the law. And right now, at this point, Jesus hadn't come yet. So I am under the law. So I was held by the law because I read the law and the law told me what I couldn't do. And so if the law told me not to do certain things, then you can be assured I'm not going to do it. You know, God, he don't want you to sin. He don't want your children to sin. So he wants you to keep them under the law whenever they're young, so to speak, until we could put our faith in the coming Savior. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children or sons. A couple weeks ago, I really stressed sonship. Because, you know, if you're a son, what belongs to you from the Father if you're his son? Everything belongs to you. That's just like the story there in Luke 15, where that one son goes out, he gets his money, and he goes out and spends all of his money on riotous living and wild women and all kinds of things. And when he is in terrible shape and there's a famine, he don't have nothing to eat or nothing. He says, you know, even my father, the servants in my father's house eat. So he said, you know, I'm going to go back home and repent and tell my dad I'm sorry and see if he'll take me back. And so he started home. When he gets home, the father is looking for him down the road. And he sees him and he runs and puts his arms around his neck and kisses him. And he said, this my son which was lost. This my son which was dead. My son is now found. He's come home. You know, you hardly ever hear anybody say that he was lost and he was dead. But that's what the scripture says, isn't it? No, while he was down in the pig pen, he's lost. He's lost and he's headed for hell. And so that man decided to get right with God, and his dad, and he came home, and the father brought him back in, put a ring on his finger, put a coat on his back.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Faith is Trust in God's Promises, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.